From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. President Donald Trump is under intense pressure to stay in the 2015 Iran nuclear agreement. Many of those comments coming from European officials, such as British Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson.
We think that it's a valuable agreement. We think it's one of the great achievements of collective diplomacy over the last couple of decades. We accept that Iranian behavior has been disruptive in the region. We accept that the president has some valid points that need to be addressed, but we believe they are capable of being addressed, and we hope the deal will be preserved.
One of the deal's chief proponents, French President Emmanuel Macron, is on a state visit to the U.S. The agreement expected to be on the agenda. German Chancellor Angela Merkel meets with Mr. Trump Friday at the White House and is also expected to urge him to stay in the deal. The president has called the three-year-old agreement flawed and has to make a decision by May 12 whether to reimpose sanctions on Tehran. Among his objections, Tehran's ballistic missile program, international inspections, and the agreement's so-called sunset provision. Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif told the Security Council on Foreign Relations in New York what is most needed is dialogue.
That is why we have suggested in a number of op-eds that I've written, as well as in other presentations, a regional dialogue forum.
He also urged the Europeans to persuade Mr. Trump to abide by the terms of the agreement. Former Malawian President Joyce Banda is expected to return to her country after 3 years of self-imposed exile over corruption allegations. She's denied any wrongdoing. The scandal surrounding her administration came to be known as Cashgate, in which senior government officials siphoned millions from state coffers. This is VOA News. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un Monday visited the Chinese embassy in Pyongyang, expressing sympathy over Sunday's bus accident that killed more than 30 Chinese tourists. At the Pentagon, U.S. Defense Chief Jim Mattis expressed optimism about proposed talks that will lead to denuclearization on the Korean Peninsula.
Right now, I think there's a lot of reasons for optimism that the negotiations will be fruitful. And we'll see.
But the White House said Pyongyang won't get sanctions relief until it takes concrete action to give up nuclear weapons. Saturday, the North pledged to forego further missile and nuclear testing and close the nuclear testing facility. Friday, Mr. Kim and South Korean President Moon Jae-in are to meet in the first inter-Korean dialogue in more than a decade. In Toronto, a driver behind the wheel of a white Ryder rental truck plowed into pedestrians on a crowded street Monday, killing 10, injuring 15. The police now have identified the driver as 25-year-old Alec Manassian, who reportedly has no militant connections. The Syrian army continued bombarding an Islamic State enclave south of Damascus Monday. The assault followed recapture of the rebel-held Eastern Ghouta district earlier this month. Hundreds of IS fighters are believed to be holed up in the town of Hajar al-Assad and Yarmouk. Houthi rebels in Yemen Monday acknowledged that their political leader was killed last week in a Saudi-led coalition airstrike on the port city Hodeidah. Houthi leader Abdul Malik al-Houthi said it was with great sadness that he had to inform that Salah al-Samad was martyred Thursday and vowed for revenge. The UN meantime condemned an airstrike on a wedding party Sunday that killed at least 20 people. The U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee late Monday narrowly recommended advancing the nomination of Central Intelligence Agency Director Mike Pompeo to the full Senate for confirmation as Secretary of State, the vote strictly along party lines 11 to 10. It's a boy for the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. Kate, the wife of Britain's Prince William, gave birth Monday to their third child. Hundreds, including John Loughery, gathered outside the hospital.
Ever so pleased. The Duchess of Cambridge came out in red, a beautiful for St. George's Day. Her baby boy is the first royal baby in history to be born on St. George's Day. The Duchess of Cambridge will never forget this, and I hope they call it George in the middle name.
The new addition to the British royal family is fifth in line to the throne. The UN cultural agency, United Arab Emirates, and Iraq have signed an agreement to finance reconstruction of a landmark mosque in Mosul, blown up by Islamic State last year. The Grand Nuri Mosque dates to the 12th century and is famous for a leaning minaret. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.